So God wants us to plan our lives and look forward, amen, and live your life to the full. But living your life to the full is really living your life according to the will of God, the purpose of God. I know there are a lot of voices speaking today, a lot of prophetic voices coming from different angles, and some very positive, some very negative. But how many know that if there was ever a time we needed to hear the voice of God, it's right now? We need to know what the Lord is saying, so that if we hear a word, we'll be able to say, yep, that's what God's been speaking to me. It's just a confirmation. When you get a true prophetic word, it's simply a confirmation of what God has already been dealing with you. It may have been an ember, you know, and it might have been dim. And then when the prophetic word comes and God breathes upon that, it comes to light and you begin to seek more clearly. And that's when you know God is actually speaking to you. Another thing we need to guard against is just accepting things that we want to hear. Because any of us can be guilty of that, because I don't want to hear that. No. You're right. But God wants us to listen to his voice, because that's where your security is going to come from. It's from the Lord. Amen. He's the one that's going to keep you safe in the days to come. And how many know that the Lord is able to make water come from a rock? And he can rain manna down from heaven. Amen. It doesn't mean that we don't act responsibly, amen, and provide and take care of ourselves. If God's given us a warning like he did Joseph, then make some preparation, okay? But the bottom line is God does not want us in fear. He does not want us worrying about these things that you hear that are happening around us. The enemy wants to get us distracted and looking after what he's doing rather than what God is doing. God wants us to look to him and find out what he's doing and join him in that, because that's where life is. The enemy wants you to be distracted by what he's doing and start, you know, believing the lie, if you will. So things are not always the way they seem or appear. So as God's people, we are not to live by sight, but faith and what God promises us. God promises us to always be there. Even when we walk through the waters, he said, I will be with you. Proverbs 14:34. Title of the message today is Hope for America. How many say America has hope? Yeah. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So the condition of our nation today is not something that just happened all of a sudden. It's been years of neglect, hasn't it? It's been years of compromise, years of apathy. And the question is, are we awake yet? Are you awake yet? It's time to awake from sleep. Amen. And what I mean by that is you need the light of Christ in you. You need, amen, to be filled with the Holy Spirit or the oil of God, so that your lamp is illuminated and you're able to actually see clearly what's actually happening. Not the way things appear, because the enemy is a master of deception. And he's good with smoke and mirrors, you know, and sleight of hand and trying to get us detoured away from what God is showing us and doing. So listen to what God had said through the prophet Jeremiah. This is how God deals with the people. Amen. We can know about the Lord, but we need to know the Lord personally, and we need to know his ways. How does God deal with a nation, for example? And here in Jeremiah 18:7, it says, the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. Clear. Amen. And he goes on to say in verse 9, in the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, that means there has been giving a promise. All right, but not necessarily a promise, but at least a condition here that God sets. If it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Sometimes when things appear to be going better, we get this idea that we can just slack off and just kind of go along for the ride now. As some would say, sit back and eat cake and watch the show. How many know that we need to be involved? Every one of us needs, we need to be doing our part because we are salt and we are light in this world. We are God's representatives. We are the ones that He has appointed for such a time as this. You have been appointed by God for such a time as this. Every one of us has a circle of influence, people that we engage, people that we meet, people that are part of our families. And it's very important that we take what God has given to us and that we share it with others. Amen? But how many know that this word applies to everyone? It applies to every individual. That God wants to do us good. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be provided for. God wants to protect you. But God is also a just God. And when we choose to do contrary to what He has instructed us to do, we give license or opportunity for our adversary to step into our lives. Now, thank God we have an advocate with the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. If we will wake up and realize that we've been going astray and turn back to the Lord, you don't have to go back to the very beginning and start all over again. You just need to make that adjustment. Amen. And sometimes it's just an attitude adjustment that we need. Amen. Because if we don't adjust ourselves, then God will have to adjust us. Are you hearing me? If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. We'll talk about that a little bit farther on here. But, you know, the devil has convinced many today that there's just no hope. Give up. Quit. It's not worth it. Many people are committing suicide because they feel that there's no future, there's no hope for them. Can I suggest to you that is a lie from the pit of hell? They say there's no hope for me. There's no hope for America, for my children. No solution to my problems. How many know we need to reject that thinking? And even when God judged Israel, He always followed up with a promise of restoration. God does discipline the ones He loves. In Hosea 6 and 1, He says, come and let us return to the Lord. This is the key. For He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up. David said in Psalms 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. So God disciplined David as a father would his son. Sometimes the best thing that can happen to us is an affliction, is a difficulty, is a hard time. Hello, somebody. How many enjoy hard times? But how many would agree that sometimes hard times are necessary to bring us back into the right place, amen, with God again? And it's very important that you and I understand that as individuals, we have individual responsibility to behave ourselves as God's representatives in this world. Any part. We need to take responsibility for any part that we may have played, if you will, in our present situation. I think back to my pre-Christ times, you know, and the way that I lived and the things that I did and how I was so focused on myself. I did not understand how my life was hurting other people. And how what I did was influencing other people around me, amen, including society in general. But sometimes when we're full of ourselves, that's all we can see is self. And all we can think about is self, and then we become the victim. When we're self-centered, we don't take responsibility. It's got to be somebody else's fault. But we do need to judge ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 11:31, it says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And the word judge means to separate thoroughly, to withdraw from. So if we would withdraw from what? Withdraw from what? Separate thoroughly from what? Self. Self. If we would turn away from our ways and walk in his ways, we would not need to be chastened by the Lord or disciplined. That means repentance is necessary for us to be in the position where once again God can bless us, amen, and prosper us. In 1 Corinthians 11:32, it says, but when we are judged, and this word judged means punished. This is a different word. When we are punished, we are disciplined or chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. So my responsibility is to separate myself from my selfish ways, amen, and set myself apart with the Lord to walk with him, amen, in his ways. That's called repentance. I was doing my thing, now I'm doing his thing. Amen. I was going my way, now I'm walking his way. All right, I've changed my mind. I've had an attitude adjustment. Proverbs 3:12 says, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. So if we would exercise self-judgment, it would not be necessary for the Lord, again, to discipline us. I find it easier just to say yes, Lord, and cooperate with him. And how many know that God's commandment is actually love? He tells us the truth because he cares about us. He knows what's best for us. So we do ourselves a great big favor just to repent of our own ways and say, Lord, I want to walk with you in your ways. I've changed my mind. I find that life in the hog pen is not all that pleasant. And some are heading towards the hog pen. Maybe you're not at the hog pen yet, but you're eating your way there. And God wants you to save yourself, spare yourself a lot of misery by just waking up and say, you know what? I need to get right with God and I need to start living for God. Amen. Because I was actually created for God. I was created to walk with him, to live with him. Amen. And to live outside of God and outside of his word is to live dysfunctionally. And that's sin, isn't it? For the wages of sin is death. But in Christ there is life. In Christ there is light. In Christ there is hope. In Christ there is peace. In him there is joy, supernatural joy. Amen. In him there is stability. In him is sight. We're able to see clearly. When our hearts are in right standing with God, he will begin to reveal to us his ways. He will show us what's actually going on. Because sin blinds. When we rebel against the known will of God, we allow the enemy to put blinders on us. And even though in our own minds we may think we're so smart, so clever, we're actually living foolishly. Why? Because we're living dysfunctionally, because we're separated from our Creator. And that's why Jesus came to redeem us, right? And to place us back in right fellowship with the Father and with him, the Son. So if we are willing to exercise this self-judgment, then we would not be chastised by the Lord. And so the best way to judge ourselves is by what? By the word of God. Amen. Get a gold star for that. Because our judgment about ourselves is flawed. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. And what does it do? It cuts between soul and spirit. That which is actually of me and that which is of God. God communes with us in our spirit. Our spirit is our most innermost person. Amen. And then we have a soul. We are a person with certain characteristics. God created us, amen, as a living soul. And so we need to know what is soulish. And soulish means devilish too, by the way. Amen. That which was sold under slave in Adam when we were born in sin, we were born corrupted already. So we have the Adamic nature, which is a fallen nature. And then when Christ comes, amen, we have a new nature. Amen. We receive a new heart, a new spirit he puts within us. Amen. And so now there's a conflict between the old and the new. And each day we have to determine who's going to win the battle, who's going to be in charge. Who's going to be the adult in the situation here? Is it going to be the Holy Spirit and my spirit together with him? Or am I going to allow my soul, all right, to have its way? Because my soul, natural soul, wants to rebel against God. And so you can't even begin to live out the Christian life until you're first born of the Spirit. You must first receive Christ. Amen. And there are people who are trying to live the Christian life just out of their soul power. You know, just trying to be a good Christian. That's why we need God. We need his power. We need his grace. Amen. So we can overcome ourselves, our soul, that outer man, as we call it. So we want our inner man to be ruling over the outer man, the earthly man. Amen. So the earthly man comes under submission to the Spirit. And then there's life and peace. There's fruit. Amen. Because the fruit that God accepts is what fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. Holy Spirit. Amen. In us. So again, it exposes what our innermost thoughts and desires. You cannot know clearly yourself except by the truth revealed in the Word of God. The entrance of the Word of God brings light. It illuminates us so that we're able to see, oh, that's God and that's me. Amen. That's God. That's the devil. The difference. And it's the truth. Amen. That enters in. Amen. And the truth is what's going to liberate you from, first of all, yourself. Because if the devil doesn't have you cooperating with him, he can't touch you. He can only touch you as long as you're willing to cooperate with him and listen to him. Are you hearing me? But if you, by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you cause your body, amen, to submit to God's will by the power of the Holy Spirit, then you have life and peace. You're not living in fear and shame. Are you hearing me, somebody? You're living in God's peace. It is well with my soul. David asked the Lord to examine him. How many know the Lord is the best judge? And Jesus, by the way, is the Word of God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. I would encourage every one of us, if you've never done this, if you don't do this, even on a regular basis, take the time to say, Lord, how is it? How's it going? How's it really? Every once in a while, the Lord has to give me a good, you know, attitude adjustment too. Because I think I'm doing all right. And all of a sudden, the Lord will speak to me about something. I'm like, oh, my word, I didn't realize. Sometimes we're drifting and not even aware we're drifting. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who's there to help us get back on track again. But don't deny him. Don't resist his voice. Lord, help me not to resist that choice, to obey your voice. Sometimes God is calling out to us. God wants us to come apart with him because he wants to commune with us. He wants fellowship with us. And we need to say, Lord, help me never to resist that choice where I could do something else, but instead I'm going to do the most important thing, and that is spend time with you. Because the enemy will always offer you alternatives. Something else will pop up. Mm-hmm. God told you to be here at a certain time in a certain place, and the enemy came up with another alternative. Moving right along. Hebrews 4:13. Listen, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable. He is the one to whom we're accountable. So, okay, well, the pastor doesn't see it, or my friends may not see it, but guess who always sees it? He who sees in secret, amen? He who knows who you are in your secret heart where you really live. But nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Now, regardless of how things appear, God is able to heal and to restore. God is able to bring dead things to life again. God wants to bring us back to life again. He wants His church in America alive. Amen. On fire for Him. Amen. Functioning and operating in their purpose, their God-given purpose in the earth. Amen. To be an expression of God's heart in this world. Hallelujah. And God calls us to partner with Him, and He anoints us. He gifts us, amen, so that we can bear fruit and that we can assist others, if you will, on the flight. Hebrews 7:25, therefore He is also able to save to the uttermost, I love this, those who come to God through Him, through Christ. Since He always lives to make intercession for them. Praise God, we have an intercessor in heaven. Amen. A great high priest, the Lord Jesus. God alone is able to bring stability, clarity, hope to hopelessness. God alone is able to make America great again. This restoration begins not in Washington, D.C., but in the church. Judgment begins at the house of God. And so does restoration, by the way. Yeah, God has to judge, okay, examine. He turns the light on. For what purpose? So that He can correct this big ship called the church, amen, and get us going in the right direction again. Why? Because He loves us. And He knows that if we choose our ways over His ways, our ways lead to destruction. And the deception is this, it doesn't happen overnight, it happens over a period of time. So people are going on their merry way thinking that nothing has changed, nothing's going to happen, and all of a sudden we don't realize that this train is about to crash. There's a sharp corner up ahead that we don't know about. And that's why we must be very careful to walk, amen, with the Lord every day. And acknowledge Him in all of our ways. Let Him direct our steps. Amen. Because the enemy is there to set traps for you and I. And he wants to destroy us. Now, the prophet Ezekiel, I talked a little bit on Wednesday night about this. But he reveals to us the fact that there is new life possible, no matter how hopeless things appear. Many of us have heard many messages on the Valley of Dry Bones. But I really believe this is a relevant word for us right now and what God is doing and what God wants to do. Ezekiel 37:1, the hand of the Lord came upon me and He brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. That means death. Then He caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there are very many in the open valley. Very many today are in death in America. And that's why America is dying, because it lacks the life of God. And you and I have the answer. We hold the keys. God has called us for such a time as this. And indeed, they were very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? But He didn't say that, did He? He didn't say yes or no, but He said, Lord, You know. You alone know that answer. Now, sometimes things are such in our lives that we're just kind of like, I don't really know if there can be a solution to this, if anything can get better. The way things appear, the way things look, they look so hopeless, so dead, so dry, that we're wondering, well, God, You know, but I'm just not sure about all this. Are you hearing me? Yes. And the enemy wants to sow unbelief and doubt and fear to get us to believe that somehow it's impossible. Therefore, quit struggling. Quit fighting against what I want to do, is what the devil says. He's trying to discourage us in the battle. Because he knows if we will get a hold of God, amen, and we will submit ourselves to God, that he's in trouble. And he will not be able to hold on to this nation if the people of God in this nation wake up and unite and come together and call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The God of Elijah, the God that answers by fire. The prophets of Baal may be silenced. Amen. The coming of God's Spirit brings life. Not money, not entertainment, not any easy living. You can have everything this world offers you and you can be void of life. You can be just like dead, dry bones. There are a lot of corpses running around. Outwardly, they are all painted up and they look good. Are you hearing me? But inwardly, they're dead. They need the life of God. They need what we have in Jesus. Amen. And God wants us to bring his message to the world. What we need in America is the Spirit of the Lord breathing upon us again. We need a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. Even dry bones can live. God knows that. Amen. But he's looking for someone such as Ezekiel who will agree with him, who will partner with him to pray in his will. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. And to speak to the dry bones. And to the breath, O breath, come from the four winds and breathe on these slain. But in order for restoration to happen, we've got to do our part. And that is we need to obey the word of the Lord. Nothing would have happened unless Ezekiel had cooperated with God and done what God showed him to do. I believe God's people are starting to wake up. Anybody here awake yet? Some of us are wide awake, amen? If you're not, get awake. Get woke. Get woke in the Lord, amen? Not in the world. Wakey, wakey, yeah. I remember that. Hallelujah. We're not there yet. But I believe something is happening. Something is in motion in the spirit. But we have to be even more diligent now to personally take responsibility for our lives and for the way we're living and to get it right. Amen. To repent of all known sin and come to the only one that can forgive. Amen. And put us in right standing. It's God who wants to heal. It's God who wants to restore. It's God who wants to bring life back into his people. But before that can happen, we have to topple every idol in our hearts, everything that we've put in our hearts before God, anything in us, in our lives that will take the place of God in our lives. It has to go. So we are seeking him above everything else. We are seeking the kingdom of God first. Oh, we can quote that in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. How about being a doer of the word? Are we truly putting God first in everything? Well, if I have any time left over, I'll give that to God. No, that's not going to work. That's the problem. That's what's happening in America right now. That's why we're in a mess, is because we have other priorities. We have other gods. We have idols. We're trying to allow the world to satisfy something in us that only the Lord can satisfy. Only he can really bring you pleasure. God is pleasurable. God is pure joy. Hallelujah. That's why I love to sing praises together with you here, because, you know, the Lord just pours his joy. Amen. His goodness into us. And we're like, oh, God, the world has nothing to you compared to you. And if you never tasted, you won't understand it until you do, until you say, OK, I'm going to let go of me and I'm going to open my life, open my heart to Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. You know, what happened in this vision is that the bones begin to rattle. And as a few months ago, the Lord just dropped that in me. He says, the bones are starting to rattle. So, yeah, the sound of the voice of God, and then there is the miracle that follows. God first spoke, let there be light, and then there was the manifestation of light. Are you hearing me? It begins with the sound of heaven. You and I agreeing with what God is speaking from heaven. Amen. And aligning ourselves with that, and that will produce life in those who hear and death in those who reject. That's how it works. I believe the bones are starting to rattle. That means they're starting to come together. There's a bit of life beginning to come back in. Amen. To the dryness, to the death. Hallelujah. And again, guys, we cannot expect the people in the world, all right, to understand this, because they are not able to understand this unless God allows them to understand it by removing the veil from their eyes, just like he did with us. So God is saying, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And do what? Seek my face. That means I'm not just seeking his hand. I'm not just saying, God, give me, God, give me, God, give me. God, I want you. Lord, I need you. Lord, life is empty. Life is vain without you. I could gain the whole world, but what would it profit me if I gain the whole world and lose my soul or lose Jesus even? You understand? People can get involved in doing even church activity and church things, and yet Jesus is nowhere in the picture. We've missed the entire point. The point of life is Jesus. He is the main attraction. He is the reason why we are here. It's all about him. And when we are enjoying him, you're enjoying life. That's fullness of life, enjoying his presence. Amen? Well, if I get a new car, I'll be happy. No, you won't. What you need is Jesus. You need God. If I'm feeling discontented, hear me, about life, it's not because you don't have enough stuff. It's because you have a lack of Jesus. Everything has to begin with him. If your life is filled with Jesus, if you are content in Jesus, then the other stuff is just extra. Are you hearing me? God never told us to go out seeking all these things of the world. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then all these things will be added unto you as well, the things that you need. He said, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, all these things. He said, if you get those priorities off, then your life is going to be off. And that's the problem, is even in the church, people have lost Jesus somewhere in this. And it's become about doing things or about, you know, even meetings and having sing-alongs or whatever. But they've lost the point of it all, which is to know the Lord. To have an experience, an encounter with the living God. And that's what changes you. Religion doesn't change anybody, does it? Only Jesus can change you. People are starting to wake up. And so he gave Ezekiel an instruction here. Because when God speaks to us, if he gives you an instruction, then you need to obey that instruction. Can you say amen? We have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So if God is telling you, pray for somebody, speak to somebody. Yeah, go here and do this or that. It's not going to happen until you step out in obedience, and then God will meet you in the place of obedience. He will always meet you in the place where he told you to be. Where I am, there my servant will be also. So in verse 4, Ezekiel 37:4, again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. If we're going to see change, we need to do something. We need to take action. Verse 5, thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. There's a promise. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So what did he do? So he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling. There it is. And the bones came together, bone to bone. First the sound of God's voice. Then there was a gathering together. Come on, somebody. They were coming together. God wants his people together in unity. And when they were all in one accord, in one place, amen, then suddenly a sound from heaven. Hallelujah. First there was the sound, and then there was a manifestation of the cloven tongues of fire. Come on. Hallelujah. So when he obeyed the voice of the Lord, revival occurred. This is where we're at in America. If we want to see this nation saved, if we want to see our families saved, our community saved, it's going to mean you and I return to the Lord, take personal responsibility, examine ourselves, let the Holy Spirit turn the light on, get rid of anything, amen, that is not pleasing to the Lord. Start cooperating and obeying his voice. And when God sees that you have humbled yourself, then he will pour his grace into your life and he will raise you up and he will use you in a mighty way. Because God will give his grace to the humble, but he will resist the proud. There are people that want from God, but they don't humble themselves to receive. Some people are too proud even to bow their knee before the Lord. Or to respond to an altar call when God is drawing them. Because we're more concerned about what people might think about us than what God thinks. You want God's grace? Humble yourself. And all of us here are desperately in need of God. Some people realize that and some people don't. But I pray that the Lord will make that clear to you if you don't think you need God, that he will cause you to understand how much you do need him. I didn't think I needed the Lord until the Lord got a hold of me one day, amen, and brought me to a place of brokenness and repentance. And that's when everything began to change for me. And I realized it wasn't everybody else's problem. It was my problem. Everybody else wasn't the problem. I was the problem. It wasn't my family. It was me. God help us to humble ourselves again. And to even to be an example. You know, oh, well, somebody will think I'm not so spiritual if I go down and kneel at the altar. Well, he must be in some gross sin or something. Get over yourself. Come on, everyone. If it could be something as simple as, you know what? I've drifted. I've lost sight. I've lost vision. I've lost hope even. I need to get that hope restored in me. And I'm going to go to the only one that can restore that hope in me, and that is Jesus. Amen. I need the God of all hope in me. Hallelujah. So I have hope, because if I have hope, then I have courage. And when I have courage, then I can fight the good fight and overcome. Hallelujah. But if the enemy can discourage you and steal your hope and get you to look at everything going on around you and taking your eyes off the only one who is the answer, the solution, then he can defeat you already in your mind. But God says, I want you to look to me. I want you to call on me. I want you to trust me that what I have, amen, is plenty. My grace is sufficient for you. So Ezekiel obeyed the Lord. And there was nothing in the natural that could have changed the situation. That's the thing, guys. We're in a place in America where there's nothing in the natural. I don't care how much legislating they do. We need God. We need an invasion from heaven. Amen. We need a mighty move, a sovereign move of the Lord. in this nation. And it's going to begin with the house of God. Judgment begins with the house of God. God disciplines his people. Amen. But restoration also begins with the house of God. When God's people get restored, amen, into right fellowship and right relationship, and they have their priorities in order, amen, then once again we are empowered by God to be influencers in society. Hallelujah. And that's how it works. This battle is going to be won in the spirit realm first. And then things will change outwardly. So verse 9, prophesy to the breath. Son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. He obeyed the instruction of the Lord. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. In other words, our nation is lost. They're saying we're done, we're through. Now, we also understand that this is referring to the return of the Jews, amen, throughout the earth where they've been dispersed, amen, and they're now returning to the land, hallelujah, the bones are rattling, amen, they're beginning to come together, hallelujah, and they're returning to the land, why? Because time is late, hallelujah, we believe, hallelujah, that God is setting things in order because we know, hallelujah, that when Jesus returns, his people will be in that land. And you and I in Christ, amen, have become one new man, Jew and Gentile, united together in the Spirit, in the church, amen. You and I also need to gather and come together, hallelujah, under the banner of the Lord. Submit ourselves, humble ourselves, and seek his face again. This year I'm praying, God, turn it around. And do it with me, amen. Start with me. And so, verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Hallelujah. This is happening right now. But they were saying, man, there's just no way. There's no hope. So the question is, can America live again? Yes, hear me. If the church awakens. We don't have time to play right now, amen, with the world. To dabble with the world. It's time for the church to get back to its purpose. And that is to represent God, to be salt, to be light, to be influencers for the kingdom, amen. And that means I have to, first of all, personally be responsible for my own life, amen, to make sure that I'm living according to the will of God for me. And only then, when I am in right standing with God, can I be an influence for somebody else. You want to know what's happened? Is that the church has lost its savor, hasn't it? Much of it. The world looks at and sees all the hypocrisy and all the compromise and all the things that they're saying. There's hardly any difference between a Christian and someone that's still in the world. Are you hearing me? But if we get back with God, hallelujah, he will set us on fire again. His church will rise up in power. Amen. And we will be influencers in this nation. Hallelujah. This nation will follow suit according to the word of the Lord as the church awakens. America will awaken as the church awakens. I believe America is starting to awaken now because what? The church is starting to wake now. But this is no time to allow ourselves to become spiritually sloppy and fall asleep. Or expect that somebody else will pray this in. Come on. Our future. Our children's future. It's largely dependent upon what the people of God do. And there's two primary things, and I'm almost through. This is two primary problems that we have. Number one, there's a lack of the knowledge of God in America today. People don't know what the truth is. They get their education from social media or from school or from their friends or from their teachers that are telling them all kinds of lies. So because of the lack of the knowledge of God, there's blindness to truth. And the second problem, I want you to hear, this has to do with the people of God, I believe, as well. The rejection of known truth. Rebellion. I know what God wants, but I do what I want anyways. Or I'll do what I want and I'll ask God to forgive me later. This is the problem. Either we know what's right and we don't do it, or we're completely ignorant to what is right. If we will be responsible individually, we make up the body of Christ. Then corporately, amen, we will be united. Because unity is the result of people coming together in the Holy Spirit. Coming together, amen, who are made right by the Spirit, amen. And we have unity because we're not just having a committee and saying, let's vote on being more kind to each other. Let's try to act more Christian this year. How does that work? It don't. But if we walk in the Holy Spirit and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then when Brother Joe over there steps on my toe, I can still bless him. Amen. And we can overlook a lot of the silly stuff that often will divide us. Many refuse to obey the Lord even after they have heard the truth repetitively. The only hope for America is an awakened church. And that begins with you and I. And God knows that we have a tendency to wander, every one of us. So he offers us a way back through the blood of Jesus. Thank God we have an advocate with the Father. And we can come to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I slipped up. Amen. I missed the mark. Thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy. Amen. And you get back up and you get back in the race and quit letting the devil beat you down, pound you down, and rob you of your hope. As if somehow God kicked you to the curb because you made a mistake. He knew you were going to do that before you did it. He just wants you to trust him, to come back to him. Amen. If you skin your knee, come back and get some help. God knows what we have need of. Because if we don't turn back to him, we will certainly perish. So God warns those who refuse to obey him. Proverbs 1:29, because they hated knowledge, did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Complacency. And whoever listens to me will what? Dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Whoever listens to me will be what? Will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. This year, let's commit ourselves to be people of his presence, to listen for, inquire of the Lord that we might hear his voice and obey his instruction. Even as Ezekiel, he obeyed the instruction of the Lord. And many of these prophets in the Old Testament, if you look at their lives were full of hardship and rejection because they obeyed the Lord. But they feared the Lord and they did, regardless of what it might cost them personally, they were willing to obey the Lord at any cost. And because they obeyed the Lord, there was a miracle, amen? There was a transformation that took place. Those dead, dry bones came to life, hallelujah. And they raised up as a great, mighty army because someone was willing to speak to them in obedience to God. How many here want to be that someone, amen, that God can call on and rely upon to do his will, amen? Hallelujah. Well, Hosea 6:1, I finish with this. Come and let us return to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I feel like America is being torn to shreds right now before our eyes. But it's because of our rebellion, because we're unwilling to yield to listen to the voice of God. We eat the fruit of our own doings. God gives us a choice who we will serve. He gives us a free will. We can do what we want with our lives because God gave you charge of it. You can do whatever you want in your body with your life, but understand that there are consequences for what you do in your body. And the day will come where you'll answer for what you've done in your body. But God wants his people today to return to him, and that he might have mercy on us, that he might heal us, that he might restore us, that he might revive us, bring us back to life again in God. Amen. And we will rediscover the joy that we once walked in, the awesomeness of his presence, to know the joy and the peace and the goodness of God in my heart and my life. Hallelujah. And to know what it's like to lay down at night, amen, and sleep well, besides the fireworks, because I have peace with God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm not laying down at night in paranoia or fear or shame or any of those things, because God has set me free. God has liberated me from my past. He doesn't hold your past against you anymore. If you will turn, that means I have to change my mind. I have to decide this day who I will serve. I need to be like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And not only for the sake of me and my house, but for the sake of my neighbor, amen, the sake of this nation, guys. God is looking at his people. God's eye is on his church, amen. There's a lot of things going on in politics, yes, but God is actually looking at the church and waiting on the church to repent and to return to him. Hello. And then God says, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. God, bring that healing. Forgive our sins and heal our land. Have mercy on us, Lord. God, we know the only hope is you. Man can't save us. Our military can't save us. Only you can save us. Turn our nation back. Turn us back. Turn your church back, Lord. Wake up your church. God, I pray this year will be a year of revival for us. God, that we will call on your name, that we'll be filled with your goodness, and we'll be an expression of your heart once again. We'll be salt. We'll be light. We'll be influencers. We'll have super holiness. Hallelujah, because your holiness is in us, God. We'll have supernatural boldness because you are working mightily within us to strengthen our hearts. God, help us. The Lord wants his people filled with his Holy Spirit. He wants his people on fire for him. He wants us to awaken. Are you awake yet? Are you awake yet? God has allowed you and I to be on this planet another year. You can't go back and change anything that happened last year. But you can hit the reset today and begin new. A new day, a new dawning, a new beginning. Starting today, God wants you to come and submit yourself to him once again. God wants to raise you up from the dead and breathe his life into you and restore unto you the joy of his salvation. But we must be willing. If we're willing and we're obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. God will bless us again. Are we willing as a body, as a church, to say yes to the Lord once again? To commit ourselves to his work in our personal lives and even in this fellowship? Lord, we ask you for grace today, for mercy. Forgive us. Holy Spirit, we ask you to guide us. Lead us in the way we should go.